This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Dan Campbell is a good soundbite. Head coach of the Detroit Lions. Here he is on 97.1 in Detroit doing a hit with the station up there. And he is fired up to go up against the Texans on Sunday night.
Man, this team is, I love the way this team plays. I mean, they play an aggressive style, explosive, fast type of football. And look, this quarterback, I think, has done an outstanding job. He's one of these really good young players in this league. I do think they're going to get Nico back. We're prepared for him. We're thinking he's coming back. He's outstanding. You know, this whole line, there's been a little bit of, you know, they had some injuries here and there, but you know, the scheme and the things that they're able to do up there, they can do a lot to you. And Mixon's playing a very high level. And then this defense, man, I mean, they hum now. They are smoking. They are up the field. They're aggressive. You know, they play a nasty style game. They finish on the football. It's going to be an all-out brawl, man, out in Houston, Texas on Sunday night. And, man, we're looking forward to it, man. This is one of those. Like I say, that's what excites you, man. Every week, you know, we just came off a big division win, and now we're rolling into another great opponent here in prime time Sunday night at their place. And, man, they play the style of football that we're looking forward to facing.
All right. Here, listen here, Dan Campbell. Listen here, D'Amico. You guys are both, you guys are now Dan Campbell. You and D'Amico are both big-time SEC guys, okay? Can we take a hint from SEC media days? All right, can you get a little bit more Lane Kiffin in you?
A little more chippy,
yeah, a little less respect between opponents.
Yeah,
I feel right. D'Amico and Dan Campbell are wired so similarly in so many ways. Now, you know, Campbell's got a lot more meathead tendencies to him, but I do feel like it feels like two heavyweight fighters that, you know, would definitely hug after the fight was over.
Yeah.
After a 15-round championship brawl,
yes,
they would be like hugging each other in admiration and respect for how hard the other one, you know, like draped over each other. Neither one can stand on
blood.
His own.
Yeah.
Which is cool for the movies, but all right, you're not going to butter me up, Dan Campbell.
That's right.
With your gushing praise of my football team, damn it.
Dude, I'm so easily sold to. Dan Campbell can sell anything to me, man. He's like, man, this defense, man, it hums. It hums, and they hit. And I'm like, dude, if I walked onto a parking, like a car lot, and I was looking for a new car, and Dan Campbell was the salesman that came up to me, and he starts selling me, man, this GPS they got in here, I'm telling you, man, this baby, this hums, and you're going to go down the highway, and you're going to go fast. I mean, like, so fast in this thing, man. Let me tell you. I would buy from Dan Campbell. I could see, like, we were laughing when he got hired by the Lions, but, like, now I see. Like, you do enough Dan Campbell press conferences, and I can see, like, how he had the Ford family, like, ready to go.
You know? The whole thing, too, and I know a lot of – there's people get exasperated when, you know, D'Amico is – pushing the positivity and all that because they start feeling like, oh, he doesn't coach them hard enough or what have you. You always have to remember that whether you yell in press conferences or yell on the sideline or not, that often has zero to do with actually how much you're coaching the guys. Yeah. Like, how much you're actually trying to fix the issues and how much are you, what standard are you holding them to?
Yeah.
And I think D'Amico holds his players to a very, very high standard. Problem is, he's a defensive-minded head coach, and it's really only showing up on the defensive side of the ball right now.
Yep.
So, as the head coach, that his method is working just fine for the defense. And there's things they need to improve on, but they like Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell, I take that at face value. He says the defense is humming. That's the way they play. They're flying around all over the place. They make a few too many errors in coverage at times, but they are flying all over the place. The offense, it doesn't feel that same way. They're not.
No.
There's no. Dan Campbell didn't say that offense is humming.
Nope.
You know,
he mentioned CJ, and that's it. CJ and Nico.
Yeah.
CJ and Nico.
Yeah.
That's it. I guess, too, well, let's play one more from Campbell here. Here's Campbell. This is at his press conference earlier this week, his coach's media session. Do you see similarities between the Lions and the Texans?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, they've got a lot of young talent that they hit on. And it's funny because most of those players over there are all players that we really were high on, too, you know. And so when you see that and you see some of these players, you're like, man, that was a good one, you know. That was a good pick they got there. And you see how hard they play and the type of football players they are. And so I do think there's a lot of similarities, you know. And there again, I think they've drafted well. I think D'Amico's done a hell of a job going in there. And just the style of play that they have, I think the quarterback's played well. They got one there. And they're like anybody else. They've had to go through some injuries and stuff this year. And they're battling through it. And they're, you know, they're still one of the top teams in this league. So they're finding ways to adapt and continue to win. So it'll be a challenge.
This is where I do take that praise from Dan Campbell, because that's unique praise, talking about, okay, seeing the guys that they had scouted the same. It's bordering on tampering, really. If he had mentioned a name, you know, he could have gotten, sure. If he had said, yeah, Damian Pierce, my God, we'd take him in a heartbeat. I know he's been injured, but
here
I don't
are the
care.
Five guys that we had high grades on their
yeah,
roster.
Yeah. So I do take that at face value, and it did make me feel good, because I think that if you go back to the Bill O'Brien days, Bill O'Brien would talk about smart, tough, dependable. Yeah. And I think he genuinely cared about smart, tough, dependable. But I don't know how good they were at judging the smart and tough part. Mm-hmm. I think they were really good at dependable in terms of, hey, wow, this guy shows up on time. Hey, this guy admits when he made a mistake, all that. Okay, great. The smart and tough part, I don't think O'Brien was all that great at identifying guys who were genuinely tough.
Yeah.
And I think on this Texans team right now, I feel like they've done a pretty good job of identifying guys that are genuine football nerds that really love football. So that, yes, once, you know, it's any more than the salaries are so high, even for rookies, that guys who are motivated solely by money, that doesn't last long, because you get a lot of money real early. So yeah. You got to have something else aside from love of money that keeps motivating you.
Yep.
And getting guys that are genuine football nerds, that's where you go. And I think the Texans have done a good job of identifying that at every area except on the offensive line.
Agreed.
I don't sense a lot of genuine toughness there. I don't sense a lot of genuine love for football. I think the offensive tackles are playing winning football, but I've never thought of the offensive tackles as guys who are like down in the dirt, gritty, love football, would run over my mother to win a Super Bowl type of guys. And that's an issue. It doesn't get fixed immediately.
No.
It's going to be over the course of the next couple of years. You got to identify more Joe Mixon types, more Azeez Alshire types, and have those guys be your offensive linemen.
I'm glad you brought up Alshire, because that's where I was going to go here, is with the Nico Collins and Will Anderson injuries, and I'll even throw Jared Patterson in there. Those are the three injuries that have gotten the most attention over the last handful of days. And Nico and Will Anderson are going to get a ton of attention here over the next couple of days. Azeez Alshire being back and fully ready to go. Credit Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen and Henry Toa for, you know, last week, for doing a nice job of kind of, you know, stemming the tide while Azeez is out. Azeez is better than all those guys. He's a better football player than all those guys. Him being back, like, how crucial is Azeez Alshire being back for this team when it comes to going up against this particular? I mean, he's been really good in pass coverage this year. Yeah. He's been really good running sideline to sideline. I was really sad to see him leave with the injury, because I thought Azeez Alshire was having, like I don't watch inside linebacker play across all 32 teams. I just know the inside linebacker play I'd been watching from Azeez Alshire over the last month or so before he got hurt was at a very, very high level compared to what we'd seen over the last several years.
I think that one thing is, I think they got to feel more comfortable playing with three linebackers on the field at times, because the entire first half of the season, they were a two linebacker operation.
Yeah.
And now they've had a bunch of different guys have to come in and play for him. And I think it filled in pretty well. But against really good rushing teams, that there's got to be times where, man, you line up in your base 4-3 alignment, and they just didn't feel comfortable doing that in the first half of the season. Hopefully with Azeez Alshire back, and then with these other guys having had a little bit more playing time, and eventually if Christian Harris comes back, that you can line up, and when other teams are just saying, hey, we're just gonna run the ball on you, that you can line up and play, and maybe they're a little bit more capable.
So if you're lining up in three linebacker formations to go against the line, because I think the Lions are the exact type of team you're talking about. You can't be light. You can't be light as a team out there against this Lions team. They'll rush for 250 yards against you know what I mean?
Right.
So if that's the case, obviously Alshire, Toa Toa, and who's the third guy then? Neville Hewitt, Jake Hansen?
Well, depending on situation, Neville Hewitt or Jake Hansen, and that becomes like, okay, do you anticipate, okay, is this a heavy run situation is it a, because like Jake Hansen provides more athleticism for more speed and everything in range than Neville Hewitt does, but Neville Hewitt just comes up and thumps.
Yeah, he does. He does, no doubt about it, man. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Thursday here. Let's hear one more from the Lions. This is their quarterback, Jared Goff. This is Jared Goff's impressions so far of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good. They're really well coached. They remind me of San Francisco, and no surprise. Back when I was in LA, that in division, San Francisco, like when D'Amico was there, it was similar. Very good defense and good up front, good at the linebacker position, good at the defensive backs, really well coached, sound. They do a good job.
I mean, it's Jared Goff has to feel a little familiar with what he's seeing as, you know, he spent that much time, played San Francisco in the NFC title. Well, D'Amico was obviously here at that point. But, yeah, all those years with L.A. going against D'Amico Ryans.
And going against Robert Saleh. Yeah. And because, you know, D'Amico's
Robert
defense,
Saleh,
you know, he just built on a lot of what Robert Saleh did. So I don't think it's as simple as, we know the book on these guys.
Yeah.
But it probably makes it a little bit easier for him. I think, look, one thing that Goff has done a really good job of is just hitting the outlet, hitting the hot, hitting the utilizing the screen game. Mm-hmm. And he's the, I don't want to say he's the same guy he's always been, because that almost feels like an insult, because he was shipped out of the Rams. He doesn't have otherworldly arm talent, but he manages the game well enough, and he's very capable of making the big time throws. And he's certainly capable of getting the ball to Jameson Williams when Jameson Williams is wide open downfield.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams is able to make one guy miss after he catches the ball. So game manager is such a loaded term. I think he's in that offense. He is running that offense perfectly.
Yeah.
He just, like, as evidenced by his passer rating over the last six games. He's got the highest passer rating in a six-game span in NFL history. He's not wasted. There's no wasted motion with him trying to make the right decision. He's got options, and he knows where to go with the ball.
He's the best quarterback in the NFC right now. You know, like, the AFC has all the big names. Like, right now, if the season ended today, the seven playoff teams in the NFC, and it's wild to look at this. Like, Detroit, we all expected to be good. They would be a division winner. They'd be the one seed. They'd have the home field advantage. The other playoff teams are Washington leading the NFC East. Nobody predicted that. Atlanta leading the NFC South. They were thought to be the favorites in a bad division, but they've actually been a pretty good football team so far. They're 6-3. Kirk Cousins, despite them drafting Michael Penix, has had a really, really good season for the Atlanta Falcons. And then Arizona is the leader in the NFC West. The other three playoff teams are Minnesota, who people thought was going to be bad this year, and then Philadelphia and Green Bay, who people thought were going to be, I think people viewed them as potential playoff teams. It's just wild that those are the four division leaders in the NFC right now, that Washington and Arizona are playoff teams right now in the NFC.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Arizona held the Lions to, I think, 16 points, 17 points when they played in the second game of the season.
Look, you said 20
fact
earlier.
Fact check
to me
on that.
Yeah, fact check.
What's that?
You said 20 earlier, but
I did.
Yeah, they lost 20. They lost 20-13 to the Lions.
Oh, so they only scored 13 okay.
No. The Cardinals lost 20-13 to the Lions.
Exactly.
So they only allowed
all along.
You were correct all along. They only allowed 20 points to the Detroit Lions, the Arizona Cardinals.
I wasn't correct at any point during that exchange.
Off the air, you were to me. You said 20 earlier.
My memory failed me.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, that was like 12 minutes ago.
I know. Payne and Pendergast with you. The 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Oh, we forgot about Devin White. That's true. Somebody texting in. Devin White is on the Houston Texans as well.
Oh, yeah.
Aziz, Toa Toa, and Devin White. Would that be a good trio, Seth? Somebody's asking.
Yes, in certain situations. Yeah. Devin White, I think, needs to be used situationally.
Keep forgetting about Devin White.
Right. Well, yeah, and look, I've forgot a lot about a lot of stuff in the last week, just consciously. I think that Devin White is a guy that can be used selectively to great effect.
Yeah.
And I think you've got a menagerie of linebackers now for different situations that I feel better about.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better about their ability to line up and play with a lot of these guys when they need to go to a 4-3.
The Texans, this is an interesting text because this plays into something I've said about the Texans. I think this is a little extreme, but it's in the same neighborhood of something I've been saying. Texter says the Texans are a team that loves to win, but it doesn't look like they hate to lose, and that's a huge difference. And I think I don't know what their love of win and hate to lose is. This I do know. I'm basing this on a year and a half worth of evidence under DeMeco Ryans. Is I don't think this team has a good killer instinct. I think they have a very good survival instinct. And those are two very, very different. If they had a good killer instinct, they would be winning some of these games by 20. That are very winnable by 20. They let teams back into games. They play down to lesser teams way too often for a team that is a, quote, good football team. Now, when it gets to nut-cutting time in the fourth quarter, and they've done it against good teams and they've done it against bad teams, but more often than not, they're able to figure some things out late in games to be able to be the team that survives. So yeah. I think the texter is framing it in a way that if I were a player or coach on the Texans, I would take it far more critically than the way I'm framing it, that you don't have a great killer instinct, but you've got a great survival instinct. Someone saying that flat out they love to win and they hate to lose basically implies a level of softness, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's the hard part where I guess what does hate to lose look like? Like, how exactly do you tell whether a team hates to lose or
it's
not?
The amount of helmets that you throw afterwards. I need more helmets.
I guess,
throwing.
Yeah. I haven't, so I don't know. It's kind of vague. Like, and I don't know. Maybe that person's correct, but then you start, then, okay, which of the guys on the Texans don't hate to lose. Yeah. It's
the
just,
offensive,
again, we come,
let's start with the offensive line like we always do.
That's where
do.
You go back to. I always go back to the offensive line. Like, it's hard for me to make a general statement about the character of the Texans team when so many of the issues come back to the offensive line and the composition and where the issues are. I feel really comfortable that Joe Mixon hates to lose. I think CJ Stroud hates to lose. I think most of the guys on the defense really hate to lose. Nico Collins hates to lose. And so it's, name names when it comes to, don't even name names. The position group as a whole, I think, just feels like, all right, the offensive line feels like things are just cruising along and, hey, whether it's true or not, that's the way it feels sometimes.
Man. Yeah, the season. It's a countdown to Coachella, man. That's what it is.
I just like when you lead the league in penalties every other year, it feels like, I don't know, maybe you don't hate some of the negatives as much.
Well, it depends on the penalty. I would say if they led the league in unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, that means they hate to lose. When you lead the league in false starts, that doesn't necessarily translate to hating to lose. That translates to laziness and inattentiveness, you know?
Yeah.
There's certain penalties they'd be like, well, that guy definitely hates to lose. He just punched a guy. Yeah.
Devin White, the first 2 weeks ago in his first appearance, he played like half the defensive snaps. He played 10 snaps last week versus the Jets.
Okay. Wonder why that would be.
Which I think is more in line with what I expected.
Yeah.
I think, again, when teams start to get a feel for what guys can and can't do, then they're going to attack those things. And Devin White, who's only been on the defense for a couple weeks and has always been really inconsistent in coverage, I'm guessing the Texans didn't quite trust him to be out there as much as the other guys.
Have you ever had an employer not follow through on a promise that they made to you? This is a former Houston athlete. This is one of the more amazing promises that was made. I think this is a promise that would get this particular owner who made it in trouble. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.